Our first reading this morning is Isaiah 35. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 35, or else I can read it to you. Isaiah 35. And what we have here is, we're being taught by the prophet, what happens when the Lord Jesus comes to us, when he draws near, when he walks into our lives. And what happens through the chapter is that the coming of Christ there in verse 2, they shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. That's talking about Jesus Christ coming into our lives. What happens is lifeless places, lifeless people, lifeless things, sick people become whole, full of life. Even fools have somewhere to go. They come into God's house at the end of the chapter, just like children come to their father. So Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For waters will burst forth in the wilderness, streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, will not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. May God bless that wonderful word to us. Now, if you turn with me for our second reading, before we pray together, to Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read the first 20 or so verses. What we have here is the apostle is describing to us the life that we have left behind, and the life that we have gone into now that Jesus has come near to us, just like it says in Isaiah 35. The old life is left behind, a lifelessness, and we press into a life that is full of life and hope and joy and goodness. And this is all because of verse 14, when the Lord Jesus comes near to us and he speaks to us and he says, "Awake, rise from the dead." Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you as is fitting for the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. May God bless his word to us. If you turn with me then to John's Gospel in chapter 5, we're carrying on our series in John's Gospel. We've come to chapter 5 now. We'll take the first 15 verses, and because it is so cold, I will try not to be too long. All right? John 5 tells us something rather marvelous. You see, there's a great question in here. Remember we did that little series not long ago, The Questions of Jesus. I can't remember if we did this one. I don't think we did. Perhaps we should have, because it's an amazing question. A question that the Lord Jesus puts to you and to me this morning. Do you want to be made whole? Sounds like a silly question, but it's not. If you can honestly say, yes, I want to be made whole, then John 5 tells us how it can happen. And what it looks like to live a life that has been healed by the Lord Jesus, to live a new life that he gives to us. So let's read John 5, verses 1 to 15. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It's the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is this man who asked you, who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. You see there in verse 3, there's this pool of water with five porches, and it is crammed with sick people who are all waiting for medicine, looking for it, that they might feel better. Whatever the world has to offer, they are willing to try it, that they might feel better. I wonder how many of them do you think had their pockets stuffed with home remedies for blindness, or creams from the doctor for their diseases? They're even at this poolside, whether it's because it was supernatural, they'll try that, or whether it's just superstition, they'll try that. It reminds us, doesn't it, of our own hospitals today. Have you seen on the telly? Or maybe you've been there. Corridors lined with people. Sick people crammed somewhere, all looking for a doctor. Some way to feel better. And where we live, there are people everywhere, in our high streets and even in our homes. They cram the place, sick people. People who are dying to find something to make themselves feel better. Do you feel like that? Even if you're not feeling sick today. There's a lot to smile about in life, but generally, in the background looms a sort of sadness, an unwholeness. There's something in me or in my life that will not be satisfied. A sort of soul sickness. Do you know what that's like? And so some people, a bit like these around this pool, they will bounce from doctor to doctor. Or they'll look for friends who might be able to satisfy them. They'll bounce from, ironically, life partner to life partner to life partner. And so they fill their lives with stuff. Like these people who stuff their pockets with home remedies, perhaps, I'm guessing now. But people stuff their lives with stuff, don't they? To try and make themselves feel better, whether it's holidays or kids. Or whether it might be food or their job. Sometimes it's drugs. Anything. Anything to make me feel better. It's a bit funny, I think, because one of the main things that we long for is, oh, that I could be at the pool. If only I could have a holiday where I could lie next to a pool and then I'll feel better. I'll feel satisfied. But how often is it that we finally manage to get through to our next slot of annual leave? We have that holiday we've been waiting for. We lie down at the poolside and we find out we're at this poolside. The things that this world has to offer us don't actually make us feel better. We are perpetually disappointed. We are at the poolside. And that's the end of the story. Desperately sad. That is the end of it. We finish there in verse 4, is it? The people just crammed around this pool, waiting for it to stir, hoping maybe I can feel better. But they never do. And that's what life is like for us. And that's the end of the story. Were it not for verse 6, when the Lord Jesus walks to the poolside as well. You know, unwhole people need the Lord Jesus Christ to walk into their lives with compassion, with power, to give new life. The people at this pool needed him to appear. The people in Jerusalem needed him. People in Wales, you need Jesus to walk into your life to that disappointed poolside. Jesus notices this one man. The place is crammed, remember. There's loads of people there. But he sees this one man. Do you know the Son of God sees you? Do you know that? The Son of God, who lives in eternal bliss with his Father in heaven, with all the saints and angels, he sees you. When no one else does, he sees you. When you reach Tuesday this week and you're feeling so lifeless and you've given up all hope of making it to the weekend, he sees you. When you're down in the dumps and you feel absolutely awful, you've got nothing left to live for, he sees you. When you've given up hope, when you're one of millions of people who are disappointed by what this world has to offer, he sees you. And he walks into your life and he can give you help. The first thing he does for this man is he asks him this amazing question in verse 6. Do you want to be made well? The word is whole. That's what it is in the old KJV. Do you want to be made whole? He's asking a question more about the man's sort of medical health. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be fixed? How would you answer that question? I think we would all instinctively think that we would say yes. It seems like a silly question. And the way that this man answers in verse 7 makes me think maybe he thinks it was a silly question as well. But it's not actually that straightforward. You see, first of all, we live in a world that is so burdened, we're so used to having burdened, difficult lives, that we forget that the living God really would give us peace and joy here and now. But secondly, and probably more importantly, there's something really satisfying about being sick, isn't there? Do you know anyone like that? They just love being sick. We like being soul sick, hunting for satisfaction. We like being angry. We like being sad. Because when we feel like this, we get to think that we're just. We're angry for the right reasons. We're sad because it's so horrible in this world. We like feeling rotten. Especially if we're victims. Because if we're victims, if someone's been nasty to us, I get to withhold forgiveness. I like being sick. It means I can trust other things and I can be bitter when they let me down. Are you sure that you want to be made whole? Because it means, if you want to be made whole, it means trusting Jesus as Lord and Savior and leaving that at the poolside. Leaving behind all the other hopes. Leaving behind being angry. Leaving behind bitterness and brokenness. Leaving that behind and trusting Jesus no matter what state we find ourselves in. It's a bit like when you go to the doctor and the doctor might have to tell you sometimes, you know, to be healthy, you've got to stop moaning about being sick and take your medicine. Or if you have an operation, in many cases, you'll find the doctor will come round you first thing in the morning afterwards and say, right, out of bed. Do you want to be made whole? You've got to leave behind being sick in your soul and trust the Lord Jesus for that wholeness. And I think that this explains the interesting words that we have of Jesus in verse 14, where he tells the man, sin no more. You've been made whole, sin no more. It seems to me that this man had been knowingly sinning for 38 years. And we're not given the details of this, but it seems that a consequence of his sinning was his unwholeness, was his sickness. And Jesus comes to him and he says, do you want to be made whole? It means stopping this lifeless existence. It means stopping sinning. It means stopping trusting world's medicine. It means stopping waiting at the poolside, endlessly disappointed. It means trusting me instead for whole, real life. Do you want to be made whole? It costs. The old life of trusting ourselves and trusting the world and trusting anything else that always lets us down and then feeling grumpy and bitter about it afterwards has to stop. Being whole means that we have to exclusively seek satisfaction in Jesus, who is our Lord. And then the miracle happens in verses 8 and 9. It's a fantastic miracle. It's one of my favorites. He simply says to this lame man, I presume he was lame, he says, rise. Take up your bed and walk. He doesn't say get up, but rise. And the word is more like be risen. Be enwholed. Be well. Be whole, he says to him. Be fixed. Do you know anyone else who can do anything like that? Doctors can tell you to do something. They can give you medicine. They can do surgery or whatever it is. Or you could take something broken to a mechanic or an engineer or a carpenter or something to fix it, and they can bring it about. Jesus says it, and it's done. Just as he said, let there be light, and there was light, here he says, be whole, and this man was whole. When Jesus speaks, you and I are healed in the act of hearing him. Do you know that? That's his power. As we listen to him, we are made whole. St. Augustine says of these verses, when Jesus says, rise, it is much less a command and more like the cure. I like that. I don't know if you've seen this in people's lives. I think you have. I hope you have. It's lovely. You get to see people who listen to Jesus, and as they listen to his words, they are set free from all sorts of suffering and bitterness and sorrow and sin, set free from vain hope. Just like Jesus went around in his ministry saying, your sin is forgiven, your sin is forgiven, your faith has made you well, go in peace. Wonderful words. If you take a sneak peek, actually, at chapter 5, verse 25, you get this. This is the emphasis here in the miracle. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, that is, dead people, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear, those who listen to him, will live. And so this man was healed by listening to Jesus' words, rise. He was healed in his body and his soul. Now, have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen a lame man walk? It may be the case that as we listen to Jesus and as we see people listening to Jesus, amazing things like this may happen. Some people really are, on listening to the Lord Jesus, healed from their sicknesses or addictions or habits that they have or nasty attitudes, besetting sins. Sometimes it's things like anxiety or so forth. And listening to the Lord Jesus, hearing his gospel, trusting in him, they're healed. That happens sometimes. But most of us don't get healed like this man was right away. What happens when we listen to the words of Jesus, when he says to us, rise, come to the light, live? First of all, he deals with our biggest sickness, our lethal sickness, which is our sin and our sinfulness, which alienates us from God as our Father. He deals with our unwillingness to be healed. And then he teaches us to live a life that is marked by peace and joy, following the Lord Jesus, whatever state we happen to be in. And every day we get to get excited as we anticipate when he will come again and say, rise to wholeness, and it will be full, complete. As it happens, that's church life, you know. The Lord Jesus sees us sick. He comes close to us. He speaks his gospel. We listen to him, and so we rise from our old dead life to a new life, and we learn how to walk. It's a miracle. We learn in church as we listen to the Lord Jesus together to leave behind the old life, to leave behind the old life of seeking life and wholeness elsewhere, seeking it at the poolside, as it were, whether that's at a pool to get healed, like in chapter 5, or whether it's a pool for a holiday or whatever it is. We have to leave all that behind and love the Lord Jesus instead. The Lord Jesus says, do you want to be made whole? Listen, I will teach you to walk and live. And so it is that this man, who had hoped in that pool for physical healing, now trusts the Lord Jesus for his wholeness. He realizes that just as the water for purification in chapter 2, do you remember that? Just as that can't make us pure. Just as well water in chapter 4 cannot satisfy us. Just as being at the poolside cannot make him whole. Absolutely nothing here can fill that hole in your soul. Have you seen the man on telly, Elon Musk? Do you know his name? Have you heard that? He's a big cheese around here, isn't he? He's one of the richest men in the world, or the richest man in the world, something like that. He sends rockets into space and digs tunnels and things. Elon Musk has the whole world. Do you know that? If he's the richest man in the world, he can do whatever he wants. He can buy whole countries and whatever. And he's got the whole world, but it's not enough. He wants Mars as well. He's going to take Mars, he says. Do you know why it is that the whole world cannot satisfy you? The whole world cannot fill the hole in your soul? Do you know why that is? It's because you, and I'm so glad to be able to tell you this, it's because you were made for more than the whole world. You were made to know God as your Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be filled, not with stuff, but with the Holy Spirit. That is wholeness. That is eternal life. This man learned that, and so he makes a decision. The first thing he does, what does he do? Did you notice it? It was quite subtle. The first thing he does, the first place he goes once he's healed, straight to the temple. straight to the temple in verse 14. He says to himself, I want to be with the Lord's people. I want to be listening to him all the time. He has made me whole. I want to dedicate myself to the new life he's given me. I want to turn my back on my old life of sin and misery and loving that. And instead, I want to love the Lord in a tough world. Ours may not be healing like his, but ours is listening to Jesus when he calls to us, rise. And when he shows us that, listen to this, when he shows us that there is a deeper joy and happiness in this life than relief from all of our problems. We've got to listen to him when he says that. This man soon learned that even with legs, life is jolly hard sometimes. But there is a deeper joy that he has now. It is the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, who makes the unwhole whole, who gives peace in peaceless times, who gives joy to joyless lives, life to the lifeless, and promises full healing when he comes again. I quoted St. Augustine earlier, and now I'm going to quote St. Johnny Erickson. Do you know her? She's a lady who lives in the States. Yeah, there's some nods. We like her books, do we? Yeah, she's great. She's a lady who's got this wonderful quote. She's got lots of good quotes. Listen to this one. I would never have come to know the Lord like I do were I not paralyzed. This woman went the other way. You see, this man had to be given legs and he came to know the Lord. For Johnny Erickson, she lost her legs and she was paralyzed. And she says, I'm so glad that happened because now I know the Lord like I do. There is a deeper joy and happiness in this life than immediate relief from all of our problems. And that's something that this man has learned now. It is knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, verses 10 to 15 now, this is to close the last little section, focus us on what is the most important. It focuses us on the main thing. You see, John 5, verses 1 to 15, is not about this man, and it's not about his legs. The thing that is bothering people in these closing verses is who? Who did this? Who is Jesus? It's John's favourite theme, isn't it, through the book. I keep banging chapter 20, verse 31 at you, don't I? These things are written that you might believe that Christ, that the Son of God, the Christ, is Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus comes to him. Who are you? You know, who are you? Explain it to me. And it's all the time. And so it is in verses 10 to 14 of chapter 5. People are going around saying, who is this? Who is he? Who has this power? Who has this authority? Who has this love and compassion? Who goes into a room full of sick people with such a heart and dishes out wholeness and healing? Who gets to say, be whole and we're whole? Who does this? In verse 15, the man goes and tells them, it is Jesus who made me whole. My friends, for our faith and for our wholeness to be true, it must be in Jesus Christ and in no other. Christians trust nothing but Jesus Christ. You know, Christians don't even trust in a vague, undefined notion of godness. Rather, we trust in Jesus, who is God defined for us. The focus of these verses is like when you put something under a magnifying glass and it all focuses down in this one beam, identifying who Jesus is. Because all of these characters, all those sick people, all the Pharisees and the Jews, everybody here believes in God, but only those who have been made whole identify him as Jesus. He is the lover. He is the healer, the helper. It is his power that is greater than my addiction to sin. It is his power that is greater than my sorrow. It is his love that does what it takes to make me whole. It won't be long before we're getting into the latter chapters of John. And as it happens, John chapter 5 is one of the first big flare-ups of the opposition to Jesus. And as you know, the book ends with his death and his resurrection. His love is so much that he doesn't just visit pool sides where dissatisfied and people who have been let down by the remedies of this world so he can heal them and give them wholeness. He goes to the cross that he might be able to take it away. It is on the cross that he bore in his body the burden of our sin to take it away. In the words of Isaiah 53, he carries away, yes, our sin and our iniquities, yes, but also our grief and our sorrow. He comes to the poolside to lift the unwholeness and to give wholeness. He goes to the cross to lift our unwholeness, to give us wholeness. He makes us rise by sinking himself into the grave, stooping so low. Do you know that hymn? But sinners raising. That's why Christians trust Jesus and no one else. So let me ask you that question again to finish. You can think about this now today. Do you want to be made whole? Stop looking elsewhere. Stop sinning. Leave all that behind. Listen to the Lord Jesus when he says, rise and walk. Amen. May God bless his word to us. Let me pray with you before we sing. Our Father in heaven, we bless you for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ to this world. Lord, we don't know the degree to which we are broken, and only you know that. We are so sick, Lord, that often we don't even want to be well. We prefer to be ill and to moan about it and be miserable about it and look for remedies in the things of this world which can never satisfy us. Lord, we pray that you should forgive us for lingering at the poolside when your own Son says to us, rise, trust in me. Father, thank you for him who gives wholeness to us who are unwhole. We ask that we might know him better all the days of our lives for our good. Amen.